All right, we'll try this again. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 this morning, second sermons in a series entitled I Love My Church. And today's title is Making a Difference in My Church. Our key verse for this series is found in Matthew chapter 16. I want to read that this morning. Verse 18, it says, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Aren't you thankful today that as a follower of Jesus Christ, we belong to something that the world cannot take away? I've watched this year in 2020, the church has faced immeasurable crazy, and every church has been put to test. And I've watched churches that have been told in different states around the nation they cannot meet in person. In fact, I'm going to a pastor's event on this Thursday, and one of the pastors that's going to be speaking is a pastor in a church in California, and he's been told that their church cannot have in-person services. They have been defying that governor's order, which is unconstitutional to even do that. And they've been meeting, and so he goes to court early part of November and is facing fines and possible prison time for standing for our faith. Folks, the Word of God reminds us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against God's church. Aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ loves the church? He gave himself for the church and offers us a relationship. It's his plan for the ages to reach this generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to take you to another verse in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it's equipped. When each, I don't even have the screen up there for us this morning. Ultimately, it says, when each is equipped, each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. It's a beautiful picture of Christ's church and how Jesus Christ desires for each of us to get plugged in and make a difference, make an eternal difference for the kingdom of God. And folks, when you look around, you see all of the bad things that are happening. In fact, I've just almost completely quit watching the news, because if you tune in for more than 5 minutes, it's just negative, negative, negative. Everybody's killing everybody. Everyone's destroying everybody. And anybody ready for the election to be over? I mean, all of the ads and the advertisement, and it can be confusing. It can be it's crazy to see what's happening in our culture. But folks, we know that if you know Christ as your Savior, this is just a temporary place. Ultimately, we're preparing for heaven. And folks, we're preparing for a place that one day there will be no more suffering, no crying, no stress, no worry, no pain, no sickness, no sorrow, no loss. All of the things that we are facing here in this world, folks, one day when Jesus Christ takes us home, we won't experience those any longer. And folks, as we look at this series, I Love My Church, the truth is when the church is working properly, there's nothing like it. It's a force that is unstoppable when the church is operating the way that Christ intended. Each of us were created to serve within a local New Testament church. You were created to make a difference. And as we might say, and secular magazines talk about volunteering, and organizations today, they try to get their people to volunteer in the community. And I know for years we have volunteered at the Durham Rescue Mission, and it's difficult now to even get in as a volunteer at their big events, because all of the corporations are asking their people to do it, and so they're taking like hundreds of volunteers from all of these companies, which is awesome because they get to see the gospel on display. But if you want to sign up, you have to volunteer like a year in advance to serve. So we're going to Operation Christmas Child here in just a few weeks to serve, and we have probably, I think, 45 that are going up on that Saturday, about 30 that are going up on Friday to serve at Operation Christmas Child. We took a group last year, and it was a huge blessing to go up and volunteer. And there's something that happens to you whenever you involve yourself in something that not only makes a difference locally, but kingdom-wise, when you're making a difference in someone's life that's going to impact the kingdom of God, folks, there's a blessing that comes from being involved in that. Forbes magazine put out an article that talked about the surprising benefits of volunteering, and it backs up what the Word of God has already said and how it tells us how important it is to be involved in serving within the local New Testament church. This article gave some different reports and research about the details of what volunteering does for people. And I want to show you just a little bit of those. Volunteering time makes you feel like you have more time. And Cassie Mulgner of Wharton, a Wharton professor, said this. She said, most people say they don't have enough time. And she says, but when you volunteer, you actually get time back. You become what she calls time affluent. In other words, what it does is it enables you to realize how much time we waste on crazy things. And so when we volunteer or do something that has a purpose, you actually get time back because you're blessed, you're encouraged, you leave excited about what God is doing within not only your own life, but the life of others. Time affluent. A corporation for a national and community service reported, says research demonstrates that volunteering leads to better health. Those who volunteer have lower mortality rates. They have greater functional ability, lower rates of depression compared to those who do not volunteer. Volunteering helps you feel happier. They found that the more people volunteered, the happier they were. And volunteering builds empathy. It strengthens social bonds. It makes you smile. And folks, there's more into it than that. But all of it is saying is this is what we were created to do. When we serve within the local New Testament church, there's a blessing that comes from giving back. And when you invest in someone's life, you're investing in an eternity. You're seeing an eternal dividend and reward. For years, I was a student pastor, and you know what? One of the probably most thankless jobs is being a teacher, and you serve in a classroom. Well, we have teachers all across our building, and sometimes you're teaching, and I mean, you're having to be disciplinarian. Those that are teaching online, God help you right now. I mean, even with my own kids, I mean, I feel sorry for you. My heart goes out to you. But Steve, I know you're a PE teacher and trying to teach elementary PE. And one morning at our house, it felt like the whole roof or ceiling was coming in. And I realized that my son was upstairs doing PE, and he was doing these burpees jumping and down and up and down and up and down. It sounded like the floor was going to fall through the house. But you know, when you're a teacher, sometimes you wonder, am I connecting with my audience? As a student pastor, oftentimes I would wonder, is this resonating with the youth? Is it making a difference? Is it making an impact? And then now, years later, I'm watching as families of young people that I had in my youth group that have now gotten married, and their kids are being dedicated on the stage up here. I'm watching them serve in their church, even if they don't live around here or involved in different, I'm seeing them plugged in and having a relationship with God. I'm watching and seeing how God is using them, and you realize it did have an impact. It did make a difference. And sometimes you maybe years later, someone comes back and says, let me just thank you for the investment that you made in my life because it meant something. And I know you're a college professor, Ashley, and sometimes you probably think, is it connecting? Is it making a difference? And folks, the reality is when we serve God with our life, it makes eternal difference. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul writes, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Good works is what the article you read about was calling volunteering. He says God has planned in advance that we should volunteer or serve with our lives. And God has plans for you, each one of us, to do good works. And he created the church as a place that you and I can plug in and make an eternal difference. And it's a kind of unique difference that God uses us And I want us to see I love my church principle this morning. It says, my church is a place where I can make an eternal difference. Do you believe that this morning? That is a place that I can plug in and not only affect my city, my community, but many of you have given to missions over the years, and you've gone on mission teams around the world, and we've watched firsthand, seen firsthand accounts from missionaries who's come. And when Pastor Omar stands up here in the pulpit and he's speaking through a translator and he's telling what God is doing in the disciples that are being made in Nicaragua. Even now they're preparing for a discipleship conference, just like we trained discipleship leaders in our church several years ago and have done so many times since then. They're preparing to start training discipleship leaders in four churches. And these, we had went last year, last November, and trained these pastors. For the last year, they've been training people, making disciples in their church. Now they're getting ready to train their first round of leaders, that next generation of disciple makers. And folks, you had a part in that. You had a part when you invested and giving to the kingdom of God and seeing the work of God go forward. So that principle is, my church is a place where I can make an eternal difference. There's a lot of places this morning you can volunteer, and there's a lot of places that you can do good things, but there's one place that you can make an eternal difference, and that's when you get involved in serving in the local New Testament church. How do we make that eternal difference? Let's look this morning. Ask God to use me to make a difference. Ask God, begin by asking God to use me to make an eternal difference in the lives of his people. God created you to do good works. So when you go to him and say, God, use me, he's going to take the things that he's uniquely gifted you and use it to make an eternal difference in the lives of others. Sometimes it may even surprise you. I've had people say, I never dreamed that God would allow me to serve in this capacity. I've had people say, Pastor, I never dreamed I'd be up teaching a Bible study. But you know what? They are. I never dreamed I would get to serve with children and see the light bulb turn on and to see them understand the truths of God's word, but they do it every week. I never understood that God could use me in such a way, and yet Kelly Nicholson goes and serves and leads vision clinics all over the world. Would you have dreamed 10 years ago you would have ever done something like that? Not in a million years. Jamie, would you have ever seen yourself? I mean, he's a carpenter. He builds houses, and yet he's out there in some of the most remote villages in Africa and South America, Central America, and they're making disciples of Jesus Christ. They're seeing people for the very first time get fitted with glasses that fits their eyes, and they can see, and they open the Word of God and shows them that Jesus Christ loves them in John 3:16, and they're sharing with them the good news of the gospel of how Christ not only can give them physical sight, but he can give them spiritual sight. Folks, there's nothing like serving God. And so God's, and when we give ourselves to the Lord for service, what happens? He takes what little bit we have to offer, which is not much, and he equips us with his power, with his strength. And people say, Pastor, I don't have any great talents. I could never sing or play an instrument. And so sometimes we stop right there and say, well, you know what? I'm not a superstar for superstars. He's looking for servants. He's looking for people who are available, that are faithful, that are willing. When we are training discipleship leaders, we tell them we're looking for fat people, all right? And we're in the United States. Most of us are fat, but I'm not talking about physically fat. I'm talking about faithful, available, teachable, all right? Think about it for just a second. If you're faithful, if you're not faithful, then you can't count on you. But if you're faithful, man, there's a lot you can do with someone who's faithful, someone who's available. In other words, they're saying, I'm going to carve out time in my life to serve God. And we have Mark just stepped up and started serving as a deacon, and just making yourself available in that opportunity. Just making yourself available to serve. Teachable means I don't understand. I don't know everything. I'm not a pious person. I'm not a person who thinks they've arrived. I'm teachable. I'm trainable. I can allow other people to speak into my life and draw me into deeper relationship with God. So what happens is as we're growing in that relationship, I have to be someone that God can use, someone that God can do. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, it says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. You see, whenever we make ourselves available, God can do supernatural things that we could not even imagine. We talk about the helicopter view versus the dashboard view. As we're going through life, all we can see is what's in front of our eyes. But God's got the big picture up ahead. And oftentimes, whenever you get that big picture, it allows us to see something we could not even fathom 5 years ago and think that God could use me in such a way to impact the world for Jesus Christ. So God wants us to make an eternal difference. Are you ready to say yes? And I always tell people whenever we're talking to them, we're saying, hey, when someone asks you about going on this mission trip, the answer is yes. And you say, why do you have to say that? Because sometimes we have to be reminded that God wants us to step up. He wants us to serve. He wants us to be used of God. So when someone talks to you about being in a life group or serving in a different capacity, the answer is yes. And see, what happens is God's already called us. It's just about us making ourselves available to be used for His glory. Secondly, we see, let's discover my gifts to make a difference, all right? So the way that God uses us to make a difference is He activates these unique spiritual gifts that He gives us when we become a child of God. These unique gifts that every Christian has often misunderstood. So this morning we're going to take a few moments and we're going to look at various serving gifts and how God uses those within, activates them within our bodies and within our lives, that if we'll allow Him to, He'll use us for His glory. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. God has equipped each one of us at the point of salvation. He's given us opportunities to use things that He's blessed us with. And God gives us these gifts when we become a follower of Christ. But folks, they're not foreign. It's not like you're going to wake up one day and said, man, I never realized in a million years. No, often it's things that we utilize already, maybe in our work. It's things that God has uniquely gifted us with. But then with His power, with His Holy Spirit, gives us the strength to utilize these things within the kingdom of God and within the local church to use for His glory. Sometimes it's those very skills that God would use to help bring other people into the family of God, into a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's been in my experience of being on church staff for over 23 years that the majority of people don't know where to plug in. They don't know how to get invested and become engaged in serving. And so as I've thought about it, and we've taught on spiritual gifts throughout the years. In fact, I think that was one of the very first series I taught on was on spiritual gifts whenever I became lead pastor, because people understand how God has uniquely equipped us, then it's easier to plug in and be utilized within the body and be fulfilled and find that fulfillment that God has given us. Why did God give you those gifts? Why did He uniquely equip you with the things that He's given you? It's so that you can use those for eternal purpose, to make an eternal difference. That whole, I love my church principle, it's just God uses me to make an eternal difference. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 4, He says, now therefore there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So as I look around the room, there is a very diverse group of people that God has equipped. And it's awesome because sometimes a husband and a wife may be on opposite ends of the gifting spectrum. And so you've got super extroverts and super introverts. God uses those things. Some that are out front doing stuff that's in front of people, leading groups of people. Others are behind the scenes serving in inconspicuous ways. And they may not know that they're there, but folks, they're serving and making an impact on the kingdom of God. So if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, read that whole passage. Romans chapter 12. Read Romans chapter 12. It gives a listing of different gifts, and it shows us ways that we can plug in and use them for the kingdom of God. One of the reasons that we try to encourage people and we make it a part of the membership process to take starting point is not only do we want you to know what we believe and we teach as a church, but we also want to help you understand your role of spiritual gifts and help you discover that gift and get plugged in using it within the local New Testament church and how God has uniquely equipped us. Over the years, we have literally helped several hundred people discover their gift and find a place within the church to utilize that gift for the kingdom of God. We have more in-depth spiritual gift assessments we do within Starting Point. We're not going to have time to do all that, but this morning I'm going to take just a few moments. We're going to talk about a few of those gifts and how you can identify them and get plugged in using them. Let's put those up on the screen. The gift of administration, this is probably a person who uses organizing skills in their daily job. And some of you are like, man, I run the whole office, all right? But you realize there are people, we need those skills within the church too. And you can utilize those things in organizing. I've had many times where Kelly said, I'll just take it, Pastor. And she's just like, I'm going to organize all this. We went to Brazil. I mean, she had everybody just lined up exactly what we're supposed to be doing and where we're supposed to be going and the type of things that we're going to be doing during that time. You organize. You help things run smoothly. And you put things together in a way that works. The gift of encouragement. And there's a lot of people that have the gift of encouragement. And I've been the receiving end of that many times where people will encourage me as a pastor and let me know how God used maybe a particular message or a comment or a prayer or a word of encouragement. They encourage them and they'll use it to encourage me as well. Our children's ministry leaders are encouragers. Many times you see them, they get down on their knees and they talk on the kids' level. Why do they do that? Because they want to connect. When those parents are dropping off kids in the nursery, they're making over them. They're talking to the kids. They're helping them feel comfortable and feel safe in an environment where they're safe. When those kids are going back to Kid City, they're high-fiving them or fist-bumping maybe in COVID times. But I mean, they're making over them and encouraging them. Why? Because they want to connect and they want to have a relationship so that they too can impart truth and knowledge and wisdom from God's word. They're encouraging them. They're building them up. Our deacons, as they call and as they pray for people that are sick, they're trying to encourage them and encourage them in that walk with Jesus Christ. So encourage is a huge role. The gift of giving. This is is like a couple other gifts. People might be thinking, well, aren't we all supposed to give? Yes, absolutely. God's told us we're supposed to give faithfully to the work of the Lord, and that's how the church is funded, through tithes and offerings, and each one of us are commanded to do that. But this is someone who goes above and beyond that. God lays a burden on their heart. They start seeing a need, and they give towards that need, and they hear about a missionary or a mission endeavor, and they say, I want to be a part of that, and they start supporting that on a larger fund. Maybe our Christmas offering, and we'll be talking about that here in just a couple days, and they'll say, hey, I want to make a big donation towards that. Why? Because they see that they can make an impact, and God has given them that gift of giving. It's not necessarily a wealthy person. It's just a faithful person who the Holy Spirit of God is working through their lives. The gift of teaching. This is a gift that's very upfront, and you see these people often, but they have a gift of studying the Word of God and imparting the knowledge that they've learned from the Scriptures to encourage people to dig deeper in their own relationship with Jesus Christ. These are life group leaders. These are Bible study teachers. These are people who invest time in teaching. The gift of evangelism. Just like the gift of giving, we're all supposed to be sharing our faith. One of the things we teach in life groups is how to share your relationship with God, how to share your witness and share your story, your testimony. But folks, as we're growing as a church, every single one of us are to be sharing the good news of the gospel. But some people, God gives them a unique ability to share the good news of Jesus Christ. If you ever heard evangelist Billy Graham, he had a unique ability, a unique gift. And evangelists have a gift from God to impart the truth of the gospel in such a clear fashion. And I heard Pastor Johnny Hunt years ago talk about, he said, one night I was sitting there late up, you know, watching TV, and he said, I was flipping through the channels and Billy Graham was on, and he said, it was a crusade from like the 70s. And he said, I was watching him and he was just preaching John 3:16. And he said, I was sitting here thinking to myself, he said, no, don't get me wrong, I love Billy Graham. He said, I was a good friend of Billy Graham. He says, but it was just the most simple sermon. There was no theatrics. There was no video screens. There was none of that. He said, it was just a simple John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He said, if I had preached that same sermon in the same format that Billy Graham did, he said, I would have fallen flat on my face and it would have been an absolute flop. He says, but God had uniquely gifted him as an evangelist to share the gospel. He said, whenever he got ready to give the invitation, he said, hundreds and hundreds are coming from the balconies and all across the arena to receive Jesus Christ. And he said, I watched as the entire floor was filled with people who were giving their life to Jesus Christ. And he was like, man, that's a unique gift. He said, I didn't get that gift. I'm a pastor, I'm a shepherd, but that's a very unique gift. The gift of evangelism, sometimes people, Miss Flo Stoll has a gift of sharing the gospel. And I remember one time we were at a conference with them, and we were staying in the same hotel, and we had checked in down in Florida. We had gotten ready. We were going out and leaving for dinner. I think my mom and dad were there too, and some of our staff were there. And we're checking in and getting ready, and as we're coming back downstairs, Miss Flo is standing there with this giant grin on her face. And I'm like, hey, Miss Flo, how are you? And she says, Pastor David, I want to introduce you to this new child of God who just accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. You know who she was? The lady who had checked the entire group of people in at this whole hotel. We were all there for a pastor's conference. And Miss Flo didn't just talk about what room she was going to be in and make sure that her breakfast was going to be on time tomorrow. No, she took time to share the gospel. And she says, let me introduce you to her. She just prayed and accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And all of the pastors are standing there feeling like about that small. Why didn't we do that? But it's a gift. And she utilized that gift to make an impact for the kingdom of God. These people lead life groups. They train others. They equip others. The gift of hospitality. This doesn't mean that you're driving an Uber and you're taking pregnant ladies to the hospital to have a baby. No, that's not what it's talking about. But these are the greeters. These are the parking attendants, the ushers, the welcome center attendants. All of them have the gift of hospitality. They're the ones that are holding the door. Welcome to worship this morning at Calvary. They're hopefully, if they're doing their job, it ought to make your entrance into church a smooth process. They ought to help you find your seat or find the nursery or kids' ministries or wherever. But they're there to encourage you and to facilitate that process. They're welcoming you, and often those same people welcome people into their homes, people that host a small group and they have them over to their home and in non-COVID times. I mean, all of those things are unique, and they're utilizing a gift that God has equipped them with, the gift of mercy. Oftentimes, don't take this the wrong way, oftentimes lead pastors are not very strong in the gift of mercy. And you say, why is that? Because oftentimes these people are so uniquely gifted that, I mean, they're constantly overwhelmed and just feeling the burdens of other people, and they're encouraging them. They would give everything that they have away, but oftentimes the pastor can't do that, have those same equipping. And so that pastor shepherd depends on other people with the gifts of mercy to surround them, to help minister to those around them in need and that particular way. Gift of mercy is compassion. They'll bend over backwards to help people in need. Those are the people that start ministries that, just like the blessing box out there. They see someone in need and they utilize their gifts to help meet the needs of others around them, see them in an area of need. The gift of serving. This means you're just willing to pitch in. You don't care if your name is in billboard lights, but you just want to serve. And oftentimes, there are literally several hundred people that serve behind the scenes in a given month all around campus. You might not know that they're there. Some of them arrive at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning. You say 7 a.m. is an ungodly time on a weekend. You know what? There's a whole group of people setting up chairs and get ready for church. They're putting out signs in the parking lot. They're out, during non-COVID times, they're setting up all the classrooms for Bible studies that will be meeting on Sunday mornings. And all these people are serving. You stay around after the service for just a few moments today, and you'll see people begin to mobilize, and carts start coming out, and chairs start getting stacked up and rolling out while they're getting ready for the next events that'll happen in this space. And folks, what happens is they're serving behind the scenes. They're in children's ministry. They're in nurseries right now so that you and I can focus on the teaching and worshiping of Jesus. So what happens is these people are serving, and it helps make an impact. So you look at this list of things. Look on that list and see which one is your top gift, all right? Which one is the one you say, hey, if I had to say my gift, put a number one or check by the first one, and maybe there's two or three. In fact, normally most people have at least a couple of gifts. Find out what those are and put a check by it, or put a number by it, and maybe an order of priority. And folks, let me encourage you. Let's get you plugged into a place of ministry. We've had ministry fairs before. All of those things are not happening in this particular time this morning. But talk to one of our staff. We'd love to help you get plugged in and serving in a particular capacity. These inventories are not necessarily perfect, but it helps you understand how God is uniquely equip me for the glory of God. So I have spiritual gifts. God's called me to be a pastor. And so it's a unique gifting because there's a huge responsibility that comes with that to shepherd people. And Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes in verse 11, he says he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Sometimes God calls people into a full-time service capacity, and they serve as a lead pastor or assistant pastor or student pastor, children's pastor, worship leaders, worship pastors, discipleship, evangelists, missionaries, church planters. And if you feel like God is calling you towards some of that, talk to us. We'd love to encourage you and give you some scriptures to encourage you in that journey as God begins to call you. But thirdly and lastly, let's adjust our schedules in order to make a difference. I think one thing that maybe we've learned during 2020, during the COVID pandemic, is maybe everything that we have always been doing is not the best thing. You follow me? Sometimes we're doing a lot of things that keep us extremely busy, but maybe we're doing good things, but we're not always doing the best things. Maybe there are things that have a greater impact on people's lives and on eternity that God wants us to do for the kingdom of God. And folks, people say all the time, say, Pastor, I would love to serve in the church. I'd love to go on one of these mission trips. I just don't have time. You know what I say about that? We have time for the things that are important in our lives. Say, Pastor, you're getting personal now. Well, that's usually what happens about this portion of the service. We get into the application in just a second. But folks, we make time for the things that are important. If you have kids and your kids play sports, they want to see mom and dad on the sidelines cheering their kids on. You have people that work out. I always saw people, whenever I have a daughter who's 18, and, you know, when she's talking about, you know, looking for a husband. And, you know, sometimes the world tells you what, you know, love looks like. And they'll have this certain physique and this guy that's got ripped abs and, I mean, just bulging with muscles everywhere. Can I just say, if that's what you're after, probably you're not going to be number one in his life. You say, why is that? Because he's going to be so rigid with his diet, with his exercise. I'm not downing anybody. If you're ripped with abs, good for you. Maybe it's genetic. I don't know. But at the end of the day, if that's what you're concerned with, that's going to be your motivation factor in all of life. And it dictates every single thing in your life. But folks, sometimes you have to prioritize things in your life and saying, I'm going to make a priority of what's most important. As you mature, one of the trade-offs as a maturing disciple of Jesus Christ is that you begin to say no to good things so that you can say yes to the best things. I love this because what happens is sometimes we're saying, you know what, I'm not going to be able to volunteer, or I'm not going to be out. As a pastor, I don't go out late and party on, I don't party anyway, but I don't go out late and party on a Saturday night. Why? Because Sunday morning is coming really early at my house. And I've got to be in a mindset where I can go and worship God and preach the gospel. And so I'm just not going to do it. So if you invite me to a late party on a Saturday, I may show up for a dinner at 5 or 6 o'clock, but I'm going to be making my way on out the door pretty quickly. And because why? Because I'm going to prioritize being in house of God. Yesterday I posted on my Facebook page, Sunday morning church attendance is a Saturday night decision. It really is. If you're going to show up at church on Sunday, it's a matter of making a priority in your life. And some people said, well, Pastor, that's not a Saturday night decision. I made that decision when I got saved. That's how it was at my house. There was never, ever a decision of if we're going to church. We're going to church. We're getting up. We're going. No, I mean, it was hell or high water. I mean, no one even thought about the pandemic back then. But, I mean, we're going to church no matter what. And folks, it's a decision. So at our house, we're getting out clothes the night before. We're making sure everybody's ready so in the morning the process goes smoothly. You're making it a priority. So as you mature, one of the trade-offs is saying, I'm going to make time to serve in my local church. Can I just say that the people who are serving around church life on a given basis, those are the ones that get the greatest blessing. The one who are giving faithfully week after week, they're the ones that get the greatest blessing. Whenever families are lined up across the stage dedicating children to the Lord, you know what? Those nursery leaders, they're beaming from ear to ear. Those children's workers are beaming from ear to ear. When they see teenagers who are graduating from high school being recognized on the stage, people who've served in student ministry are like, man, I've prayed for that young man for years. And I'm excited because he's going on to serve God with his life. I'm excited to see that young lady take her next step and follow what God's plan. We see a mission team up here being commissioned to go to Brazil. It's exciting because we've been praying for missionaries serving there. And now we're sending people to come alongside of them to serve alongside of them. All of these things are encouraging and building up the body of Christ. In Matthew chapter 23, it says, the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. This morning, if you are not plugged in serving, let me just say, you can make a difference today. You can make a difference today by getting plugged in. There's always needs in children's ministry. Talk to Jessica Carson. She would love to get you plugged in some capacity. There's always needs in hospitality and greeting and seating and parking and all of those things. There's always needs in worship ministry. If you want to serve in some capacity, talk to us. We want to get you plugged in. But ultimately, that statement says that Dr. Mogulner said this. She said, "The results show that giving your time to others can make you feel more time affluent." As we serve, God encourages us and blesses us in that process. So, Pastor, what's the application? There's some amazing blessings that come when you're willing to serve. God blesses you when you begin to bless others. Let me encourage you this morning. Take that next step in engaging in the process of serving within the local New Testament church. When you bless others with your time, God blesses your time. He redeems the time, as the Word of God says in the book of Ephesians, because the days are evil. When you bless others with your gifts, God blesses your gifts. He grows them. The teacher, when they use their gift and utilize it in teaching, gets the greatest blessing, because not only is God teaching you through the process of growing as a disciple, but as you see it worked out and fleshed out in the lives of your disciples and the people that you're ministering to, you see them grow. You see that light turn on. You see them, man, I'm wanting to serve God. I'm now wanting to live. I'm making it a priority in my own life. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not." What an encouragement this morning to know when we serve God with our lives, it's not in vain. In fact, it's building up treasures in heaven, laying up treasures, as Jesus said in Matthew, laying up treasures in heaven. Start now by asking God to use you to make a difference. Discover your unique gifts and then adjust your schedule to begin making a difference in the lives of others. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of opening your word this morning. And Lord, understanding first of all that the church was your idea. And Lord, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Lord, to know this morning that you desire for us to plug in to a local New Testament church, and Lord, we can make a difference that matters in light of eternity. God, would you do a supernatural work in our hearts this morning and allow us to engage, get off the bench, get in the game, get some skin in the game, and begin to serve you and use our gifts for the kingdom of God and make an eternal difference. God, do something supernatural in our midst. For those who may not know you as Lord and Savior, Lord, this morning, may they come and experience freedom, experience forgiveness from sin. And God, I pray that you would speak to their hearts this morning. God, do something supernatural in our midst as we seek to make disciples at home and abroad. God, give us a passion to serve you for the kingdom of God. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand.